something for you out there. All right. He's got new cowboy boots. That's cool. Well, I'm on Tylenol. Most of you know my back went out a couple days ago, and so I'll probably preach pretty quick here, so I can sit down. So, if we were Jewish, they preach sitting down.
Well, you can sit down.
I don't have it. I'm good. For now. For now, I'm good. But I'll never forget that day this past spring when I was sitting at home and I think I was reading or something, and Rebecca walks in from work, and she had visited the doctor. And she stood, I can show you the spot right in the house, and she stood there and said, "I have cancer." And everything just stopped. Nothing else mattered. I can't remember what I was doing. I can't remember if I was reading or preparing a sermon. Dinner plans didn't matter. Plans for a sabbatical didn't matter. Church plans didn't matter. And I'm sorry, but whatever things were going on in your lives that I was praying about suddenly didn't matter. And only one thing was going through my mind. And for the next several minutes or hours maybe, the only thing I could think of was, "Oh Lord, my wife has cancer. What does this mean? How is this going to turn out?" Some of you have been there. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You have heard those same words. And you know how it just stops everything. A pastor was talking with a parishioner about the things that were going on in his life, and this man and his wife had just finished building their dream home, and it was perfect. It was everything that they had wanted it to be. They had spent years saving and planning and connecting with contractors and doing everything to make sure that it was just the way they wanted it, the permits and everything. And the pastor and the man were discussing about how much stress that this put on this man and his relationship with his wife and his relationship with the Lord. And now we know that in the scheme of things, that building a house and all the preparation that goes into it, on a scale of importance and life-shattering, changing events, building a house is fairly low. But this man said something profound to his pastor. He said, "If I had known how things were going to work out, I would have lived so much differently these last several months. So much less striving, less fear, so much more faith, hope, and love." That says so much, doesn't it? If I had known how things were going to work out, I would have lived so much differently. And it makes me wonder, how would we live our lives if we knew the end from the beginning? Have you ever asked the question, "I wish God would show me how this is going to turn out"? I have. I wish I knew. I wish I could see the end of this story. I think we would be blown away if we saw all the details of what God wants to do in and through us on our journey. I think about Joseph. Not the husband of Mary, but the Old Testament Joseph. And the interesting thing is, with Joseph, God did give him a peek of how things were going to end out, right? He had those dreams, the visions of the stars circling around the bright star, and then the sheaves of wheat bowing down to one in the middle. And the Lord had revealed that that is you, and your brothers will be bowing down to you. And the stars, Joseph, you are that bright one. Remember that story? Can you imagine then? And I love the story of Joseph, and it's rather unique in the scriptures, in that as we read about all the major characters in the Bible, the scriptures don't hide the fact that these mostly men, they had some character flaws, didn't they? We see their sin. All of them. Abraham, Moses, King David, you know, they all had their problems, right? They were all pretty much like you and I, okay? Except for Joseph. You read through the story of Joseph, and this guy, he seems to be pretty perfect. Yeah, maybe a little prideful, but talking to his brothers about the visions he had, but I don't know, you kind of read that into it. But imagine if God showed him the end, right? Imagine if God had showed him the path that Joseph would have to take to get there. It wasn't an easy path, was it? Being sold into slavery, sold by his brothers. Thanks, bro. You know? Becoming a slave in Egypt. Finally rising to a respectable position as a slave, only to be accused of rape and thrown back in prison in a dungeon and forgotten about for years. All that before he was elevated to second in all of Egypt. But if God had showed him those things, I don't think we'd get very far into the story where Joseph said, "Nope, I'm out. No way. Don't. I'm done." He'd pull a Jonah, you know. I'm heading to sea. I'm out of here. And I think we would do the same thing. And God would be, wait a minute. You forgot the end of the story. Don't lose sight of the end of the story. I can relate well to the analogy of life being like driving down a road at night, where all you can see is the extent of your headlights. This is a couple of weeks ago when I was driving home from Medford, when I'd been in Nashville. I filmed part of it. And my son,
nice light
while driving, yeah, my son wanted a cool dad, so he got me a light bar and mounted it. And you can see I was kind of experimenting. There it is. That's the light bar. But it really doesn't help, does it? Not in this situation. It didn't help all that much. And so, but all you know is the end of your light beam. That's all you can see. And when the road is curving, or something is blocking the curve, you don't know what's around that curve. You just kind of go on faith, and your right foot is always ready to slide over and hit those brakes. And life is kind of like that, isn't it? We don't know what's around the next corner. We don't know what's coming up in the darkness. We don't know what's going to happen in our lives tomorrow, do we? We make plans, you know. Most of you will go to work. Some will go to school. Some will go grocery shopping. Some will catch up on your soap operas, whatever. But the bottom line is, we don't know what tomorrow holds for us. And so, it's only as good as the end of our headlights. So we have the word of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 46. I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things not yet done. Saying, my counsel will stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. I am God, there is no other. God knows the end of every matter, every circumstance, just as clearly as we can see what's in our headlights. God knows the end from the beginning because he is much more than just a passive observer of events here on earth. His counsel will stand, his purposes, his ways, his works, his plans will never fail. You see, God isn't just watching this parade of history. God is orchestrating this parade. He is deeply and intimately involved in our lives. The key point is that we, as God's people, have to remember this about the Lord, that he knows the end from the beginning. And he is in control over all things. And when we remember this, we can have tremendous courage and hope in our God. We must understand and remember who he is and what he does. The events of life can be like an emotional roller coaster. Up and down, twists, turns, and going upside down until the inside becomes the outside. I don't like roller coaster rides. Anybody like them? Bob, you seem like a... No? I can't. I don't like them. A lot of people live their lives in the uncertainty of the roller coaster. And it just seems like to them they are victims of circumstance. Not fully settled in their hearts, but easily thrown about, wondering what's coming next. The enemy likes to keep this roller coaster going in our lives, keeping us off balance and throwing all sorts of obstacles our way. And that just fuels the uncertainty that we face in life. And I really hate that. I hate seeing that. But it's an effective tactic for the enemy, because with each new twist and turn, it's different just enough to keep them unsure and to get them constantly asking, how is this going to turn out? What about this time? And so we live from uncertainty to the next uncertainty, from circumstance to circumstance, and we barely catch our breath and experience the peace and rest that's promised to us by God. But when we understand that God knows the end from the beginning, that his love and his grace are guiding us and preparing the way for us, it builds within us a hope. A hope that smooths out the roller coaster ride. And we know that nothing catches God by surprise. The medical test results, the notice of job termination, the car accident, that phone call where the voice on the other end says, "We need to talk." Nothing can be around that dark corner that wasn't placed there or allowed to be there by your Heavenly Father. In Revelation chapter 21, Jesus is called the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end of all things. And it is this Alpha and Omega who tells us in Matthew chapter 6, "Do not worry about your life." That says a lot, doesn't it? Do not worry about your life. That's one of those things where we could say, easier said than done, and yet we remember who said it. Oh yeah, it's the Alpha and the Omega who said that. Do not worry about your life. And the Apostle Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 4, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That day back in May, it shook me. And if I talk to you in the days following, you may have noticed I wasn't quite normal, if there is such a thing. And I'm just thankful I didn't go into any serious contracts during those days. At least I don't think I did. Don't sign your name to that. But I didn't stay there. With each doctor visit and with every prayer and every phone call, every touch of love that came from you folks and many others, it reminded me of the goodness of God, of the power of God, of the control, the sovereignty of our God. And my faith grew and grew. Yeah, there were some rough spots along the way. And we took it one day at a time. And with each doctor report, we were ready for just about anything that it might tell us. We have the knowledge that our lives are resting firmly and yet lovingly in the hands of Almighty God. And we knew that there was no better place to be. Knowing that God knows the end of our story brings such a relief from stress and anxiety. And it allows us to serve and to love and enjoy all the days that the Lord gives us. So my question to you is your life firmly, yet lovingly, in the hands of our Father? You remember that God loves us, and that is foundational in our lives. That the love of God is constant and never changing. And that we can never do anything to make God love us more. And we can never do anything to make God love us less. And yet we have that problem of sin, don't we? That sin blocks that relationship. It gets in the way so that we can't experience the love of God. And that's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sins, so that we could be restored to our Heavenly Father, that we could have that relationship that we were created to have. The little sign says, grace happens here. It's a dual meaning. Grace happens here among us, but grace happened here at the cross, where we, in our sins, could do nothing to please God, do nothing to earn God's love and forgiveness. And yet, because of the cross, because of what Jesus did, it is ours in abundance. And we can live in the freedom of being that child of God, totally forgiven, totally at peace with the Father. Do you have that tonight? Do you have that in your life? It's yours for the taking. Paul says in Romans that the free gift of God is eternal life. You have to reach out and take it. Let's pray. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day, for this time that you have called us together. I thank you, Lord, for that deep and powerful way that you showed your great love to us during these last several months. And while the road at times was very twisty and slippery and dark, Lord, we knew that you were with us. And I thank you, Lord, for the way that this church, this congregation, loved us during those months. They will always be so precious to me and Rebecca. And so, Father, I pray that that same love that they showed to us is just a mere reflection of the love that you have for each and every one of us. A love that reaches out when we are helpless. A love that supports and upholds and comforts when we find ourselves alone. I thank you, Jesus, that you have died on the cross for our sins. I thank you, Jesus, that you have paid the debt of our sins, something that we could never begin to pay. I thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to suffer in our place, that we may be free from our sins, that we may be declared righteous in the eyes of God because of what you have done. And I thank you, Jesus, that you were resurrected 3 days after, and that you live forevermore, continually offering that gift of salvation, continually offering your grace and your love and forgiveness. And oh God, I pray that we would reach out and take that gift. I pray that every person here would be a son or daughter of Almighty God, based on what you have done for us on the cross. Lord, would you remind us when the road gets dark, when the headlights only go so far, and the road gets slippery, Lord, would you remind us of how much you are with us, that you are traveling the path with us, and that you know what's at the end of the road. Help us to trust you as we follow you every step of the way. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.